Welcome to 4 months of financial market uncertainty in Europe, with a British referendum on staying in the EU or leaving the EU now set for late June. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global take on business and the economy at this hour. Fresh from a European Union summit, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron believes he has a deal that'll make staying in the European Union palatable for many UK voters. Under the deal, Britain will no longer have to draw economically closer to the rest of Europe over time. He also has a promise that Britain won't get treated as an economic outsider. But a powerful voice in British politics is now calling for the UK to leave the European Union. Marketplace's London correspondent Stephen Beard is following developments that are moving European financial markets this morning. Stephen, good morning to you.
Hello, David.
London is a citadel of wealth, a bit like Singapore, a city-state many see as quite dependent on borderless movement of capital and people when it comes to the rest of Europe. Why is the mayor of London looking askance at what your prime minister has achieved?
Boris quotes his great hero, Winston Churchill, "We should be with Europe, but not of it." Boris doesn't like the constant erosion of British sovereignty, the fact that British courts and the British Parliament can make a law, but the European courts and the European Parliament can overturn it.
But he clearly believes, Boris Johnson, that London can continue to thrive economically if it's not quite as wrapped up with the rest of Europe as had been the trend.
Yes, he does. I mean, he thinks that a relationship will continue. But business is broadly against Brexit, I mean, big business in particular, because something like a half of Britain's exports go to continental Europe. And there is a worry that Brexit would bring back tariffs and other trade barriers. But there's a lot of small businesses that actually don't do any trade with the rest of Europe. Many of those small business people actually support Brexit because they don't like the bureaucracy and the regulations that come from Europe.
Now, the British public at large, not just small or large businesses, will have a chance to vote for this. June 23rd is now the national referendum there. How are markets reacting today to this apparent pushback to what British Prime Minister Cameron has brought back from his EU meeting?
The pound has weakened against an already weak euro because of the uncertainty. I mean, ironically, of course, this is good for those big British exporters to the EU who are opposed to Brexit because it makes their goods cheaper in Europe. But there's going to be around 4 months of profound economic uncertainty in the UK. Ultimately, no business welcomes uncertainty.
All right. Well, fasten your seatbelt for this, Stephen. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's check some other financial markets. Pretty up day for stocks. The 100 share index in London is up 1.25% now. The DAX index in Germany, in Frankfurt, is up nearly 2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose by a similar percentage. Futures are looking up for the U.S. time zones. The Dow future up 1.2%. The S&P future up by a similar percentage. The NASDAQ future up 1.3%. Often stock prices track crude oil, and in fact, crude oil traded in New York is up 3.5% to $30.68 a barrel. There's news today that the international bank HSBC is being investigated for hiring people with possibly inappropriate ties to government officials in Asia. HSBC also says it's cooperating with regulators, including the Securities and Exchange Commission in Washington. HSBC has a London headquarters, but a major source of its profits is the Asia-Pacific region. It is, after all, the former Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. The company also said today it posted a loss in the last quarter. Now to a tension in the U.S. economy, potentially innovative startup companies in the U.S. that rely on the Uberized gig economy to get a lot of their work done. Even the smallest company these days can outsource labor. From San Francisco, Sam Harnett reports.
So yeah, this side, we just moved in here, that whole side.
CEO Tyson Quick launches San Francisco tech company, Instapage, entirely with foreign freelancers. He contracted them through the website Upwork.
Before platforms like Upwork, you pretty much had to go raise a ton of money so you could hire the in-house talent that you need to grow your business.
It was hard for small companies to find freelancers, especially cheap workers overseas. But now, because of a wave of companies like Upwork, Wonolo, and 99designs, even the tiniest company can use an app to order freelancers. Duncan Logan says it's changed how startups start up.
literally, you have to do nothing now. You just have to sit and make decisions, and other people will do all the work for you.
Logan runs Rocket Space, a San Francisco co-working office for tech companies. He says startups there use gig workers for everything, to deliver food, develop websites, even do PR. Logan shows me the logo that he had a freelancer design for him.
It was made in Vietnam by some guy I've never met. Cost me, I think, $200.
Logan calls all this gig work the lack of commitment economy. Rutgers University professor Hal Salzman calls it outsourcing. And he's not impressed with the new gig economy branding.
Outsourcing has become an unpopular word. Recasting it as the gig economy sounds much, much better.
Salzman says the gig economy helps smaller companies do the same old thing. Cut worker pay and ship out jobs. That's good for businesses, he says, but bad for society.
The next great app can be a lot of fun to use. The next service may be great to have. It's the bigger picture of it. What cost is it to the economy? And what's the longer term future for the workforce and overall for the quality of life?
Big questions. Tyson Quick of Instapage, though, has a more immediate concern. Survival. Quick says he needs cheap, flexible freelancers to compete. Local full-time people, he says, are just too expensive. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.